are faithful. While we let go of your promises, you keep your promises. And Lord, we come here and stand this morning and admit that all we have is you, Jesus. And we confess your death, burial, and resurrection. And we confess our need for you this morning and our need for your holy word. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd move me out of the way, move Michael out of the way as he leads the junior church and the preschool teachers. Father, we just pray for an anointing and empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that your word would go deep in our hearts and that you'd transform us from the inside out. Oh God, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor and we bless your name this morning, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we don't even want to stop singing. Hallelujah, all we have is Christ. We bow in reverence before you because you're holy God, you're righteous God. You are mighty God, you are everlasting Father, you are Prince of Peace. You are Jehovah, the one who provides for us. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, come and meet with us now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. One. Sure, sure. You may be seated.
We don't praise our God enough. Sometimes I spend a lot of times here in the past year just living every day not praising God, and I'm sorry for it. I'm broken inside for it. I don't want to go through all the things that I've been through this year with my son and my wife and my other two children, but it's been a lot. And I just want to praise his name.
Amen.
And he brought us through it all. Mm-hmm. And that he will continue to bring us through all of it. No matter what it is, no matter what we throw at him, he's there. He's always standing there. He's like Wes said this morning. He's here now. He's in the house.
Yes.
And he's sitting beside each one of us, and he's holding each one of us. And he just wants to be for God. And that was what I was feeling this morning. And I was raised in the church, so when you feel like you got to just stand up and say something, that you just say it.
Amen.
And we don't do that enough here.
Yeah.
And I'm probably the worst. So, can we start doing that more?
Amen. Amen. Could we just... Yeah.
More than just speaking to me about verbalizing what he was blessing me with in that last call.
Mm.
And, you know, the deeper our sin, the more beautiful, the more radiant Christ is.
Yes. Yes.
So let's get his message more and let's spread it more.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, could we just give God praise and just clap our hands to the Lord and just thank him? He's worthy. Glory in the name of the Lord. You know, when we come to our text today and we're finishing up what we started last week in Genesis chapter 21. So I want to invite you to turn there. But I want to talk to you about the laughter that comes from experiencing the everlasting God. And what Terry was saying, a part of the message today, was the deeper our sin is, as far as that goes, the greater Christ is to us. The more we realize the severity of where we are, the greater the grace of God is towards us. And as we have been talking about Abraham's life and how he blew it so many different times, but each time he blew it, God came and gave him a promise. And he said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. And he messed up with Hagar. He messed up in Egypt. He messed up when he went to Abimelech. And he lost his testimony for God. But God is in the business of keeping his promises when we cannot. And that is the awesome thing. And just by way of review, last week we talked about the everlasting God, because he ends this chapter by calling on the name of the Lord, everlasting God, because it's at this point that when Abraham and Sarah laughed in the past when God said, you're going to have a son, now God is getting the last laugh. And then we come to verse 4 in chapter 21, and it says, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old, and his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I bore him a son in old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy, because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite a good way off, but the distance of a bow shot, for she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy. He grew up. He lived in the wilderness, and he became an expert with a bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And so as we come into this text, we talked about last week, the everlasting God fulfills every promise because he always keeps his word. And we talked about the nature of God, that God always keeps his word, is the anchor for our sanity and our solace in life. And we also talked about the fact that Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. It took that long for God to give them grace upon grace upon grace upon love after mistake after mistake after mistake, till they're finally ready for the promise to be fulfilled. So God, the everlasting God, has perfect timing because he always keeps his word. And we left off last week on this joy that God brings to each and every one of us through his promises. And remember, I don't know if any of you had the chance this week to take the questions that we talked about, this laughter. And I talked about a little bit of my life and how it lacked a lot of joy, and because I was looking at laughter as a feeling. And if you look at it as a feeling, it comes and goes. But when we realize that God shows us grace time and time again, and we look at that trail of grace, the footprints of God's grace in our life, our joy is centered in the fact that He keeps His promises when we don't. And so you think about the longevity of a child. When a child is born, and all, some of you that have had children, it's great when they come out of the womb and you're excited and you love them and you're joyful. And then the diaper changing comes, and then the crying in the middle of the night comes, and the sleepless nights. But somehow, you look at Eric and Holly, they still smile when they look at their child. They are still joyful because that's a longevity kind of joy. And that's the kind of joy that God gives us. It's promises that don't go away, that last. It's not just a feeling. Versus a feeling, I like to go on roller coaster rides, and the thrill is there. You go up, and it's exciting, but then it's over, and you go home, and you're kind of depressed. Or you might have an exciting time with some friends, and then they go home, and then you're discouraged and depressed again. But when we bank our lives on the promises of God, that is what can bring the stability in our lives. Now, you might say, well, what about this joy? God gives me this joy. He's given me His promises. He's given me salvation. Anybody in here receive the salvation of the Lord and you know that your sins are forgiven? You don't have to raise your hands, but have you? Have you had your sins forgiven? You experienced the joy, but what about the time you screwed things up last week? What about a month ago when you really did it big time and messed up? Abraham was in that situation. Now, part of the Hebrew word for this laughter, remember last week, was that continuous singing and dancing, which is what Sarah experienced when Isaac was born. But then we find in our text that we just read in verse 8, another form of the same word of laughter, which means mocking laughter. All things were fine and good. Abraham had received the promise of his son, right? We're doing good. Then all of a sudden in the corner, there was a mocking laughter of his other son, Ishmael, of a mistake that Abraham made in his life. Not that Ishmael was a mistake, but Abraham sinned against God and tried to, instead of following God's promises, he tried to make things work out on his own. And so there was that mocking laughter. No, so do any of you ever have those kinds of things in your life? It could be a sin that happened 10 years ago. It could be something that somebody had done to you 20 years ago. It could have been something that you'd done last year. It is a mocking laughter. While God gives us laughter when He has a promise, then the devil comes in right away with that mocking laughter. Ishmael was a reminder of the baggage, of the mess that Abraham had spun in his life. But don't give up hope. Because look at what God does. I love the beauty of this passage of Scripture. You might say, well, what does this have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And what does this have to do with, doesn't my joy go away when the past mistakes come up in my mind? God intervenes yet again in Abraham's life. He said, yeah, you messed things up, but I am the everlasting God who forgives your sinful past because I always keep my word. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to take the tangled mess that you made in your life, and I'm going to start to undo it, and I'm going to start to give it, and I'm going to start to heal it. One of the things that God has called us to do in our walks with Him, and when we talk about addictions or things that we keep repeating over and over that we don't want to stop and we want to keep doing, there comes a point in time when God says it's time to cut it off. It's time to let go of the past. Chances are there's some of you in here that have had bad experiences with people in the church that are a little bit crazy. And they use the whole guise that the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that and the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. And then they end up not living a life that's holy and godly for the Lord, and you're wondering, what, how? So I don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit because of that bad experience. Somebody did something that was demonic, or they did something that was crazy. They were operating in their flesh. They were operating in another spirit or something like that. And so what we do is we shut down ourselves from the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And we're afraid of the Holy Spirit because of those bad experiences. That's just one example. God says it's time to leave the past behind. My promises are sure. In fact, in Acts, he promises that all who believe will receive the promised Holy Spirit and be filled. And there's more than just saying, I have the Holy Spirit. It's letting him rule our lives. And when he rules our life, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest. He says, you got to let go. And notice what Abraham did. He said, Ishmael's my son. My wife's saying to send her off. When what does God say? God says, Abraham, it is through Isaac that your offspring is going to come. You disobeyed me. You took another path. But, you know, unfortunately, Hagar was hurt. Ishmael was hurt because of your mistake. But let me handle this. I have this. I'm going to bless them and I'm going to take care of them. And you can see what God did for Hagar and Ishmael in the coming verses. He grew up. He was married. Everything was fine with him. But he's saying to Abraham, I'm giving you another chance. It's time to cut off the bad experiences from the past and to move on. I have to be honest. There are so many things in my life, in my past, and maybe perhaps where you grew up and what kind of family setting you were in or what kind of people came to your door. Or maybe some of you in here are dealing with past relationships or past marriages where it was ungodly, it was unholy, and you're stuck. And every time that person's name comes up or every time that situation comes up, you get stuck. God is saying, just like he did to Abraham, and said, Abraham, I promised you, I'm going to keep my promises. I promised to deliver you. I'm delivering you right now, but you got to move on. You got to let Ishmael go. You got to take that next step of change and set boundaries in your life and be willing to take the action steps to get out of the tangled mess. Now, there's an interesting thing, and I want you to turn, if you would, so that we understand what's happening here more clearly. There's a commentary to this text in Galatians chapter 4, verses 21. It explains what God is doing in this situation. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. I want you to know that God provides freedom from being a slave to sin. A slave to our past. A slave to our mistakes. Anybody in here make mistakes in your past? For those of you that didn't raise your hands, you lied. So God is going to have to take you a little bit more down the journey in the desert, maybe, perhaps. How many made a mistake yesterday? How many made a mistake today? Well, now we're getting a little more real here. All I have is Christ. All I have is Christ. That is what we have to hang on to. Now look at this passage in Galatians 4, verse 21. He says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. Why does he say that? Because Abraham took things in his own hands and disobeyed God with that one. It says, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery, and her children, but the Jerusalem above, heaven, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, were children of the promise. But just as at the time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But listen carefully. But what does not Scripture say? Folks, pay a close attention to this passage. He says, cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we're not children of the slave, but of the free woman. For the freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. After we traded God's promise for something else, the time is going to come when God gives us the opportunity to break off the past and receive His promise in our lives. He says, don't go back to slavery. And if anything, if you forget anything this morning, remember this. The grace of God is so great that He intervenes in our life time and time again. But we have to say it's time to move on, because God in His grace. And I love the beauty of this, that Abraham says, well, God, He's my son and I'm still responsible and all of this sort of thing. In which he was right. But Abraham was wanting to keep him because it was his firstborn son. God says, no, he has no inheritance. That was a child of the flesh. But don't worry, I'm going to heal the tangled mess of your life. Most of us in here today, maybe in our mind, in our hearts, in the secrecy of our thoughts, we've weaved a web of lies. And so we get conditioned to stay there. I sowed something according to the flesh, and this has got to be my life from here on out. That's what Abraham said. But when God gives laughter, He sends the mocking laughter away. So what's coming back to haunt you today? That's not the joy of the Lord. It's time to send it off. And say, God, I know I messed things up. I've hurt a lot of people in my family. Now, God, since You're the God of promise and grace, I have to trust You to heal the wounds of the family members and people that I've hurt in my life. He's that kind of God. We get stuck because we think now that we messed things up, we got to fix it. Don't do that, because you're going to make it worse. Say, God, thank You for this chance. Thank You for restoring Your promise in my life. God works to heal our sinful past because of His promise at work in us. And I love this quote by Griffith Thomas. It says, God, He was taking up the tangled threads of His servant's life, weaving them into His own divine pattern, and overusing everything for good. And that's what He did for Joseph, right? When he was sold into slavery to his family, and they said, are you going to kill us, brother Joseph? And he said, no. This is what he says. As for you, you meant evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. That God in His sovereignty, even in the midst of our mistakes, is weaving a tapestry of grace. Isn't that beautiful? You know, God works to provide, to restore, to heal. And that's exactly what we read in this text that happened with Hagar. You know, she goes out in the desert and her son's about to die, and God intervenes. It says, God heard, verse 17. He says, fear not. Verse 19, God opened her eyes. We have to let go and trust the Lord and move on. So what is it that God's calling you to let go of? He's the everlasting God. He is willing to come and intervene in your life to forgive your sinful past. He wants you to stop obsessing with those things. I want you to think for a moment, what have you obsessed with in your life of past mistakes and sins? Hear God today is saying, brother, sister, I love you. It's time to let go. It's time to move on. Can God restore laughter even when our past comes to haunt us? Yes. Can God bring laughter and free us from our shame. Abraham embarrassed himself in front of Abimelech. Remember that? He said, well, she's my sister. And he got really embarrassed and he lost his testimony of Jesus. So when we go through this process of God's healing, so not only do we have to leave the past behind, and last of all, to look at the everlasting God today, is that God displays His presence in our lives because He always keeps His word. Look what happened in verse 22. We're going to leave off with this last section of Scripture. It says, at the time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all you do. Now remember, this is the same Abimelech that he sinned against and that he lost his testimony with. Now here is saying, God is with you, Abraham. I recognize God's restoring work in your life. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servant had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You do not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen, gave them to Abimelech, and two men made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these seven lambs will take from my hand that it may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba because they both of them swore an oath and they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of the army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned there many days in the land of Philistines. So what about this whole path? What is this sheep thing all about? Abraham lost his testimony before King Abimelech. But notice what God does. When He forgives us of our sins, if we keep trusting in His promises as the everlasting God, not only does that, He takes away our shame and He gives us boldness to go back to the very King and be a witness. He even was bold enough to say, you know, your guys have taken my well that I dug, but I'm going to give you these seven sheep as a sign that this is my well. And he was even bold as a lion to do something like that in the face of somebody that he had lost his testimony. You know what? I've seen so many Christians in their life that lose their testimony and they stay in that place of lostness. They don't think that God can ever use them again. They don't think that they can get back up and regain their testimony. Because God keeps His promises and we cannot, because He's the everlasting God, He did so with Abraham. Abimelech saw his son born in an old age, and it was a testimony that the one true God was the true God, Yahweh. Remember Abraham, when he came into the promised land, he set up altars everywhere, and he called on the name of the Lord out loud in front of the Canaanites and the pagan worship, and gave testimony to God, and then he lost his testimony. And because God keeps His promises as the everlasting God, God here restores and fulfills His word and brings Him presence back into His life. And He polishes Abraham to shine for His glory. And so then he comes to this tree. He plants a tree called its tamarisk tree. And let me tell you about the tamarisk tree. It's called the salt cedar. And it was a symbol of fruitfulness and prosperity. But the salt cedar is an interesting thing, because he planted this and then he calls on the everlasting God. This was a big moment in Abraham's life. When something big happened, like laughter was born, God kept His promises, God healed, God restored, God took away his shame, God renewed his testimony, and he's willing to do it for you. He planted a tamarisk tree. A tamarisk tree bleeds out salt out of the needles, so it collects water. And it has underneath it its own kind of ecosystem. And so when the sun of the desert beats down on that tree, the salt collects the water and keeps the tree alive. And then at night it lets the water fall down into the ground. And then the roots suck up that salt again and it restarts. And so if you're under a tamarisk tree, it kind of has a cool atmosphere. In the hot desert sun, And boy, yesterday it was really hot, wasn't it? Over 100 degrees, and out of all days of the year, I decided to go mow the lawn and trim the bushes on the hottest day of the year. Why did he plant a tamarisk tree? Because the God, who is the everlasting God, comes to bring relief and coolness from the hot desert sun of my sin and my shame. And then there's one other thing about this tree. When you get to a place where you feel like you don't know where to turn, you're hungry, you're looking, you have a need. There's aphids, these little bugs that secrete a honey-like substance into this tree branches. And it provides food and sustenance in the wilderness. And a lot of people believe that this was the manna, perhaps, that God sent from heaven into these trees. And it was protein. It was a honey-like substance. It was like the bees make honey. These aphids make honey. And it puts it in the tree. And so you can eat. He called on the everlasting God. You can eat. You can drink water from the needles. You have accommodation. You have air conditioning under the tree. And that's why he planted that tree and called upon and gave the name of God, everlasting God. And that word everlasting means forever and ever. In other words, in the deep sense of it, it's concealed. Another one, have you ever stopped to think about God being forever? And then God forever and forever and forever and forever more, and God forever in the future. And then you start thinking, okay, I wonder how far God goes. And then you keep thinking, and then you say, wait a minute, I got to go a little bit further. You can't find where it stops. He plants a tamarisk tree. And then the other thing, the reason why a tamarisk tree survives is that it spreads its roots out wide to collect the water from the dew in the morning, and then it sends its roots deep down to the water table that's below the earth, and that tree survives. Abraham was in a sense saying, I was a tree in the desert that was withering. I sinned against God, but as a result of God's trail of grace at work in my life time and time again, him renewing his promise, and then finally Isaac came, I'm calling upon God as the everlasting God. I finally get it. I finally get it that he's my shade of rest. That he has made me to be a tree, and you got to send your roots down deep in the promises of God. You got to send them wide because we're living in this world that's a desert. Will you call upon the everlasting God? I love the beauty of the picture of this in the passage. God's will cannot be interrupted and changed for your life. If he promises salvation and if he gives us salvation, he's going to keep you to the end. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So plant your tamarisk tree and call upon the everlasting God. I want to invite the worship team to come. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, I'm so humbled with this passage of Scripture. God, as I look through my own life and as my brothers and sisters look back over their life, we can see your hand at work. We can see your grace. We can see each time you've forgiven us. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your undying love. You are way more loving than we ever could expect or think or imagine. Jesus, I pray that you would forgive me. Pray that you'd forgive us for the times that we've held on. When you said, I'm giving you another chance, go. And Lord, today for each and every one of us, I just want to give each and every one of you this morning just a time of silence here. Whatever your Ishmael is, it's time to send them in the wilderness. Time to let go. Time to say, I'm done. God keeps his promises. He wins. I'm going to go with him. Lord, we give you all the glory. We confess that you are everlasting God today. And we worship you and bow down and surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. This song is a confession.